Hi, I'm Bob Tabor with LearnVisualStudio.net. I realize it took us 12 lessons to get out of the first lab. I promise we're going to move at a more brisk pace from now on, now that we have the basics of navigation and data binding and the layout of the various templates and the Grid App project template under our belts. So from this point on, I hope to talk more about Windows 8 and Windows runtime specific topic matter. Just to be clear now, we are in lab number two, optimizing your views, orientation, snapping, and semantic zoom. And we are looking at exercise number one, device orientation. And the first task has us run the app as is using the simulator in order to see what it would look like if we were to load our app on a tablet like the Surface, for example, and switch from what has up to this point been the default view, the landscape view, to a portrait view. So to kind of simulate this, let's change from running on the local machine. I'm going to click the little down arrow next to local machine to select simulator. And now I'm going to click the simulator button, and what we get is a little virtual machine that runs inside of our machine. And it's pretty neat because there's a lot of cool stuff we can do with this. And before we jump right in and take the instructions in the first exercise, what I want to do is just kind of discover some of the things you can do with the simulator. For example, we're in mouse mode right now, and we can also change whether this is always on top or not, or minimize, just like you can do in a regular Windows app. But we can also move to touch mode so that we're actually kind of simulating the act of touching the template's the tablet surface, and so the little crosshairs becomes our finger, and the little plus symbol is kind of where we actually land. And there's another icon for the pinch zoom mode where we can act like we have two fingers now on the tablet, and we can try to get them into a semantic, get our app to work in a semantic zoom kind of a feature. So as you can see, I can go out to the start area, and this might be a neat place to kind of demo this. And I'm going to use the mouse wheel to kind of move my fingers closer or further apart. And so in this case, what I'll do is just now push down on the mouse button and start moving the mouse closer and closer together, like I'm pinching. And I can get into this semantic zoom where I'm only looking at kind of the icons in their very smallest form, and then, you know, can select one of these groupings back with the one finger, I guess, in order to get back just to that group. Pretty neat. I can click our app and get back to it. And anything that I could do in my full version of Windows 8, I can also do here, which includes getting to things like, you know, the charm bar. And we've already looked at getting back to the start screen. We can navigate into any of these apps. I can use a little button on the front of the virtual machine, okay, to do whatever the Windows button does on an actual tablet. Very neat. You can also take screenshots. You can change some of the default settings. You can change the screen resolution. And I'd recommend that you stay in 1366 by 768 or greater. But here's an opportunity to see what our app would look like on a very large screen, or even the largest supported screen size. Now, everything will look smaller proportionally because we're now imagining this tablet from going to be a 13-inch tablet to a 27-inch tablet. So we can see a lot more information, and all the text is smaller because we're relatively looking at this a little bit different, you know, as a smaller or larger device. All right. So at any rate, I've avoided these two buttons here that allow us to rotate clockwise and counterclockwise to actually take this action with our virtual machine. And so let's go ahead and do that. And we can see that our grouped items page looks pretty good. And that's because we get that for free with the list view. It will just reorient itself very nicely. But some of the other pages will need a little bit more work. For example, if we go to the group detail page, what ideally we like to see here is all of the items, the recipes that belong to this group would fit below here, and that we could, you know, work in a more vertical fashion instead of a horizontal fashion, because too much of the information is now hidden off of the display area of the screen. We can still get over there if we want to, using our finger or whatever the case might be. Let's also now dive into one of the individual recipe items. And here again, while we can scroll off to the right-hand side, it's not ideal. And furthermore, due to the spacing and the way that we've set up the CSS, our directions are now scrunched off to the right-hand side. Definitely not what we want. So we need to kind of figure this out. Let me go ahead and rotate this back into place here. I do think it's interesting to see the animations at work whenever we change the rotation. And I think we get this for free from the WinJS library. When we make those rotational changes or any of the changes to the app view state, like we'll see in just a moment, there are some built-in animations that we get for free. So let's go ahead and shut this down. I'll go ahead and just hit the stop debugging button. Notice when I do that, even though I'm not debugging anymore, the simulator is still running. You have a couple of choices here. You can either shut it down if you want manually by just right-clicking and selecting close window in the app bar at the bottom, or you can just leave it running, and Visual Studio will dynamically load in the latest version of your app into the simulator the next time you try to debug, and it'll go a little bit faster that way if you do that, especially if you have a slower machine. Okay, so we'll just leave it running. It's not going to hurt anything. All right, so let's move on here and talk about the group detail page. Now, if you recall, maybe we can even get back into it here. The problem with the group detail page, as we orient it in portrait, is that everything is off to the right-hand side, and ideally we'd like it all to be below. So what we need to do here is modify the list view to account for portrait mode. And so let's take a look at the group detail.js file and go to 122. And if you take a look at the update layout function as it stands right now, we're going to be making a change to this. It doesn't account for any other state except for snapped. And what we'd like to do is account for the portrait or the full screen portrait state. And we'll be doing that in just a moment when we undertake exercise or task number two from our lab. But what we need to do is work with this app view state. And if you take a look at the very top of this file, you can see that it's actually an alias into the Windows runtime, windows.ui.viewmanagement.applicationViewState. And so the app view state enumeration can be one of the four settings. It can be full screen landscape, which is the default that we've been working with. It can be full screen portrait, which is something we want to check for and modify the layout based on that, or filled or snapped. And we'll talk about filled and snapped a little bit later. So these are the four basic states that our app can be displayed in. And at the moment, we're particularly interested in going full screen landscape, then moving to full screen portrait. So what should happen when the orientation of the full screen version of the app is changed? Well, to trace this, let's take a look at the navigator.js file. It's in the JS folder of our solution. And if you take a look here in the page control navigator class, we have this constructor, and one of the things that we do in the constructor is to listen for this resized event to happen. So when the window is resized, we want to fire off our resized event handler. And I happen to know that that is defined here on line number 115. So we propagate that call down to the page fragment because we're working here with the page control. So we want to call this.pageControl.updateLayout. And then when we do that, we will call the updateLayout method in this particular case, the groupDetail.js. So let's scroll down to the update layout. So that's how update layout gets called whenever the outermost page control senses that there's been a change. It will propagate that call down to the page that it's hosting. In this case, again, groupDetail.js. And it does that so the page itself can then find a way to render itself correctly. So to render itself correctly, we switch the list view from grid layout mode to list layout mode. And so this is simply just a feature of the list view that it can be reshaped by simply setting a property. So grid layout flows the layout of the page as if it's in one long row, so we can move horizontally through the group detail information. However, when in portrait mode, we'd like to rearrange the content so that it flows vertically in one long column so that we can fit more information on the screen at a time. That's really what this exercise that we're about to do is trying to accomplish. Changing the orientation of the device should rearrange the flow of information so that we can fit more in a single viewable area. So portrait should flow data to fill up the entire vertical space. Now, the other side of this equation is the CSS that's defined for the various view states. Media queries are used. So take a look at the default, default CSS. If we go to the very bottom here, we can see that there's a series of these media queries. And a media query is used to define special CSS styles that apply when a web client has a certain set of dimensions. And this is the basis of responsive web design that I briefly explained in the last video of the HTML5 and CSS Fundamentals series on Channel 9. So in this case, we use a special Microsoft extension, MS View State, and you can see here there's one for snapped, and let's see if we can find some more here. There's full screen portrait, and I'm gonna bet you that we're gonna add some more throughout this series, if not to this specific page, then to the individual pages like groupdetail.css, right? In fact, let's take a look at groupdetail CSS. Let's go 122. And so I think the instructions are going to tell us that we're going to need to, okay, so there is already snapped and there's already full screen portrait. And we're probably going to add some more detail. Yeah, that's about the only ones. We're going to add some more information there. And we'll add some more styling, I'm sure, here, given the instructions in the lab. So, okay, that's enough background. Let's go ahead and get started into task number 2. Let's scroll down here and take a look at customizing the group detail page. It wants us to make sure we understand what we're about to get ourselves into. We already got that, so let's move down here. And we want to reconfigure the list view control so that when the screen is in portrait mode, recipes appear in a single vertically scrolling column underneath the group name. So what we want to do is work with the groupdetail.js and find the update layout function. Okay, let's start there. Groupdetail.js update layouts. And I think we were there just a moment ago. And here we are on line number 39. And what it tells us to do is modify the if statement that checks for snapped view state to include a test for full screen portrait mode also. So let's just look here and see what this will look like. Instead of just looking for snapped, we're also going to check for snapped or full screen portrait. Okay? And if so, then we'll fire off that code. I don't know if that changes at all. Maybe a little bit there. So we're going to remove an event and then prevent the default. Is that what we do here as well? Yeah. And passing in the current view state. And that gets passed into us into the update layout function, which we learned is being passed from that navigator.js file. All right, so great. And I'm guessing that initialize layout will make some changes then as well in just a few moments here. So let's go ahead and copy this. I want to change out this entire update layout event handler function. So let's go ahead and just grab the whole thing. Paste that in. All right, and make sure that you still leave that comma because these are just members of this page that we're defining, okay? So you want to make sure to get that syntax right and be careful when you paste things in. All right, so then let's look at what else is necessary here. We want to tweak the initialized layout, just like we said a moment ago, that gets called from update layout so that when full screen portrait mode uses list layout rather than grid layout. Okay, cool. So let's just take a look at this. So we're going to add an or to our if statement and then we'll change the layout to list layout. All right. So up to this point, I'm guessing that that only applied whenever we were in Snap. So let me just take a look here. Yeah, so we already have list layout there. All we're doing is just saying, you know, or this other app. Let's go view state equals app view state and full screen portrait. Let's add a third one there. We learned the difference between those two. And I think that's the only change. Instead of just copying out, I just went ahead and typed that one in. All right. What's up next here? Okay, so now we get to run it and make sure that whenever we go into the group detail page, it looks correct this time. Well, we're getting closer. I don't know that we did this exactly right. Well, this is what it says it will look like. Okay, so unfortunately, we're only halfway there. Changed the update layout and initially got us halfway there, but we need to increase the margin on the top. Ah, and change the margin on the left so that it's consistent with the margin on the header. Okay, cool. So let's go ahead, and that's going to take us into some CSS, which is fine. And we're going to look at the groupdetail.css page. So, and now what we want to do is find the following clause near the bottom of the file, and I guess we want to replace it. So we are going to set the margin left 100. Detail. All right. Well, we have it. And what it wants us to do is to make a change to it, modify the media query by adding a second style to it. Okay. So let's just go ahead and replace that whole thing since we have it on our clipboard here. I'm just going to blow it away and replace it. All right, now run it again, and we should be able to see the Chinese part, and there's plenty margin to the top and to the left this time. Awesome. Looks good. Whoops, hold on. Got to get in there. There we go. Now it looks good. Very cool. All right, so let's stop that and continue on through task number 3, customizing the item detail page. We've already looked at what it looks like before we've made the changes, so let's just continue on and actually make the changes. So the 3 content areas in the item detail page, the recipe name, image, and description, the ingredients and the directions are div elements in the item detail. So in lab 1, we modified those. And let's open up the item detail CSS and find the media query. So we're going straight to the item detail page, item detail .css. And this makes sense because the only thing we should be doing at this point is just changing the CSS and not making any changes to the HTML or the JS. All right, so we found the full screen portrait definition here. And what we want to do is modify the media query as follows. All right, so we're going to add, in row 2, column 1, add some margins, and that's where you're going to put the ingredients. And then row 3, column 1, and we'll add the directions. Okay, that makes perfect sense. Let's go ahead and just blow away what they have here. And now I think we're going to be able to run it. And it should look good. All right. And that'll bring us to the close of this lesson. Awesome. All right. So we're getting closer. Now our pages look good in both portrait and landscape. Very cool. All right, see you in the next lesson. Thank you.